This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Time now for Mego and Shime on WEEI.
And now the Knicks can dribble it out. For the first time in 2.5 decades, the New York Knicks are going to a conference final. And they do it in dominant fashion as they defeat the Celtics in 6 games. It's their largest playoff win ever.
Losing to the Knicks, you know, feels like death, but I was always taught that there's life after death, so we'll get ready for whatever's next in the journey, I'll be ready for.
Good afternoon, Megan Adelini here with John Lyons. Chris Scheim is off today. We've been with you since 9 a.m. We got one more hour to talk Celtics with you guys. Might mix in a little football, too. We gave you a little Brady last hour talking about Jason Tatum trying to work back from his Achilles, but got to take some time for the Celtics because a lot of people in their feelings, whether they are anger, disappointment, just outright sadness. I'll say for me, I kind of feel like I had been waiting for that finish last night for a while, not just because it felt like that game was out of reach in the first half when you're down by 27 points and you got 11 turnovers and nothing is going, you guys can't get anything to go. Nothing is going right for you against a Knicks team that just has all the momentum. But Wednesday felt kind of like a bonus to me. It felt like you got to do this. It's a got to have it game. Tatum's out. The city needs this. You're at TD Garden. Your backs up are against the wall and you're the defending champs, and you got to give the people something, and you did. They went out and they won by 25, and then they looked emotionally, physically exhausted, and it just came to an end that we didn't want to see with a 38-point deficit, but it came to an end that I think a lot of people were unfortunately expecting, John Lyons.
Yeah, and it was one of those situations where, you know, 2:30 to go in the first quarter, Kristaps Porzingis hits a three. It's 16-16 at that point.
All of a sudden, we're like, what? Kristaps?
I know, he stepped into it. I was like, all right. And then the Knicks took it to another level that the Celtics didn't have. And it was something that last year the Celtics did so many times to other teams. They would take things to another level. Other teams couldn't match them. And last night, it was the reverse of that. You could say down the stretch of games 1 and 2, and even down the stretch of game 4, we saw evidence of that. And look, I think one thing, too, is we have to acknowledge it's extremely hard to win a championship. It's even harder to repeat as champions. And I think we saw a lot of the things that went right last year for the Celtics, whether it was mostly being healthy and playing so well together right away with multiple new pieces of their rotation. Those things did not go right for them. I mean, they were not healthy at all throughout most of the season. Obviously, the Tatum devastating injury notwithstanding, they were not healthy for most of the season. So many of the shots that went in last year didn't go in last year. So many of coaching adjustments that Mazzulla made last year that worked, those things didn't work this year, or he didn't make them in time. So I think we just saw a result last night that I would agree with you. I was not surprised they won game five. I was also not surprised they lost last night. Now, I was surprised it was 38 points, you know, and they got their asses kicked. But I wasn't surprised looking back saying, wow, they had that tough stretch in December, January. Porzingis was a shell of himself. Tatum got hurt. They kind of let go of the rope in games one. I wasn't that surprised that they end up getting eliminated last night.
Games one and two, there's a lot in there that feels kind of inexcusable. And I think that's where you can go.
That's
in
where
on,
I think things kind of turned
on the mentality and the mindset. I hear a lot of different explanations for what went wrong with this title defense. One being, hey, this is a team where you ran it back and everybody was excited for that. But there was no team that anybody knew better than this version of the Celtics. And you knew that they were a 3-point shooting team and you knew the weapons that they had and, you know, the defenses that they run and their tendencies and their weak spots and all of that. I don't really think that's the reason. I think if you take like a 7,000 foot view or whatever, and you wanted to look back and someone asks you, hey, what happened? Why did the Celtics get knocked out in the second round by the Knicks? It's not going to be because of the Tatum Achilles injury, but it will be in part. I think people will say they weren't right. They weren't totally healthy. Maybe they were kind of exhausted from the entire year before, from some of the Olympic stuff in the summer. They'll say Jaylen Brown missed time at the end of the year because he had a bad injury and he didn't look right. Drew Holiday missed time in the Orlando series because he had an injury and he didn't look right. Kristaps Porzingis has this insane plague that resurfaces in the playoffs, which is just a situation that I can't remember ever seeing with another player. We're not talking about an injury. We're talking about an illness where he goes out for several games during the regular season and then comes back and averages 21 points per game for seven games. After he comes back initially, once the playoffs set, he looks totally out of it, totally bad. And I'm not saying this to give excuses because, as I said from the top, games one and two were tough. You should not have gone down that way at home. You should not have lost that way at home.
I would say they were beyond tough. I mean, that's embarrassing to lose both of those games.
I agree. But at the same time, I'm just telling you, the way that history will remember this Celtics team will be that way, I think.
Yeah, and when I look back on this series, I think there's two reasons to me why the Celtics didn't win. Number one is they were not healthy enough. And that's not to I'm not trying to discredit the Knicks, but the Tatum injury, sure, they were going to be down 3-1 at that point. The Porzingis injury was a killer because when their offense got stagnant in games one and two and they were missing shots, that was the time over the last couple of years where he, as the best post scorer in the NBA,
the
and you can look
and
it
roll.
Up, the pick and roll game and the post up game, which he's been the best guy inside in the NBA, you can look it up. That's when they would have gone to it, and they couldn't, and it killed them. And the Knicks role players, too, were better than the Celtics role players in this series. Josh Hart and Anunoby, much better than they were in the regular season. So health, to me, is one. But another one, and I got to give, the Knicks were tougher than them, mentally and physically. They pushed the Celtics around, especially inside. They got in the Celtics' face. I mean, look at how the last possession of the first two games went. A rip away from Jaylen Brown, one of your Supermax guys, and a steal from Tatum, your other Supermax guy. Like, the Knicks were tougher mentally and physically. And I think that's something that health is health, right? We can sit here and say, hey, Tatum is going to have surgery. Maybe Porzingis will be healthier. Brown will be healthier. Or they'll trade for a couple guys that are healthier. But the toughness factor is also something the Celtics got to think about because this is the second time in 3 years they've been eliminated by a team with less talent but more toughness. And it's just a crazy juxtaposition to me, Mego, where last year they were tougher. They were tougher than Cleveland, tougher than Indiana, much tougher than Dallas, and it's a big part of why they won. And this year, again, hats off to the Knicks. They were flat out tougher.
617-779-7937 is your number if you want to jump in on the conversation, either on the phone lines or on the text lines. We're going to continue talking about the Celtics, both what happened in this Knicks series and the big picture questions that are looming on the horizon for this summer. Let's go to John in Marshfield, who has been patiently waiting. How you doing, John?
I'm doing great, and by the way, I agree, Mego, that your take on what's going to happen in the future, near future, is going to be the case, and in part because I don't think there is a realistic plan B. Let me just go all geek on you for a second. The Celtics basically paid for two teams this year. One team that was paid at the cap, and the other team paid more than that, which was their luxury tax and penalty. This is not going to be assumed by the new owners. Trust me, they actually want to make money. So the question I have for you is this. We want to do a plan B. It takes two to dance, right? What are you as another general manager going to give us for a holiday with the obligation to pay him $32 million a year? I want to know that. Now I want to know. Oh, we want to get rid of Brown. He's not. Okay, what are you as another general manager going to pay me for the right to pay Jaylen Brown $61 million a year? Of all ears.
All right. Thank you, John. I think it is it's a good point to make about the heft of these contracts. And I did just get these updated numbers. This is the projected salary and tax. These are two different numbers. If you kept this entire roster together for the next season, the salary would actually be $231 million, and the tax would be $263 million. So even more dire than maybe Spotrac was showing and some of the numbers that I was referencing earlier. Just wanted to update that.
So what's that, $494 million?
It's quite literally just and barely under half a billion dollars.
And I think the Celtics in revenue last year made $450 million, so they would literally be $40 million underwater revenue-wise at least.
So there's a lot of concern over what Bill Chisholm's going to do as a new owner. Is he going to come in and completely tear it down because he wants to make a profit right away? I don't get that sense.
I don't think
that that's the avenue. I think the way that they had planned this out previously about the window of this group with Porzingis and Drew Holiday and Sam Hauser and whoever else you want to throw in here as the pieces that have big contracts, and Sam Hauser has a big contract. It's $10 million next year. Is that it was going to be like a 2-3 year window. So this is the 2 year window. I never really thought that they were going to completely run it back again next year. I think that would just, you see the penalties. That would be so extreme.
And I also think practically, like, next year Horford's 39. Like, Holiday's going to be, what, 35? Like, at some point, just...
Yeah, Horford and Cornette are both free agents.
Yeah,
so.
Like, practically and basketball-wise, I don't know if it would have made sense to run it all. I mean, maybe if you had won back-to-back titles, you could have talked me into it. But outside of that, like... I think it makes sense to be willing to make some changes. But there's a big difference between that and just saying, let's tank.
Here's the question to me. If you're rolling forward and let's say you move around a lot of pieces or you do whatever, and your core pieces that you keep are Jason Tatum, waiting for him to come back from the Achilles injury, Jaylen Brown, and Derek White. Do you feel like you need to inject somebody with a stronger personality into that group? There is something about, I love this group of guys. I think that they're amazing, and I love the dynamic of their locker room. It's hard to find a guy who's like kind of a killer, you know, in that sense in the NBA, like Jimmy Butler was in his prime at times in the playoffs. I think you've seen Jaylen push to be that guy at times. Do you think that they need to do anything about, you talk about them showing fight, showing grit. So anything about their personality as a team?
Yeah, I think a role player with a little bit more of an edge would be a good thing, right? Like, I think that would help. And I think when you look at Brown, Tatum, and White, that means you're going to be remaking large sections of your front court. So do you got a guy like that in your front court? Because I think if you have Brown, Tatum, and White, by extension, you probably have Pritchard as your other guy, right? Like, so you're going to be remaking large sections of your front court, both in the starting five but also off the bench. Can you get a guy with an edge like that? I think that would be helpful because, again, and I don't look at Karl Anthony Towns as like a tough player. Jalen Brunson is Mr. Clutch of the Year, but he's a liability as a defender. But that Knicks group, and maybe it was a Tom Thibodeau thing on down, they were tougher. And I give them credit for that. But last year, the Celtics had all these same guys, and they were the tougher team. So maybe it was just partly the health and partly maybe they got a little comfortable after winning a championship. I don't know. I think if you look in hindsight, the running it back thing, I'm still a supporter of, but maybe they would have benefited from one guy in the rotation who hadn't won a championship, that little extra piece of hunger. And I'll be honest, I was wrong. I didn't think about that last summer, maybe only a little bit, but maybe they would have benefited from one guy in there who had not won a championship before and who had that little extra piece of hunger that this whole group had last year, which I think going into next year and forward, they'll have again.
Yeah, I think that they had the same desire for a championship. I don't think that they got lackadaisical. I more mean like just the approach. Some pieces of this team have been together for a while. The Jays, I think they're going to keep together, and I think that's the right move, especially if you have Tatum coming back into a situation that's uncomfortable because of the level of injury that he's coming back from. I think it would be really good to have Jaylen Brown beside him. But at the same time, I do think about, okay, you know, when the big changes that you've made after disappointments, and this one's a little different because I think a lot of it is based on health. Still didn't have to go out down 38, but a lot of it was based on health. Like in 2021, when you exited really early after the first round, what did they do? Danny Ainge left the organization after 18 years. Brad Stevens kicked upstairs.
And that was a series too. Didn't Jaylen miss that whole series? So that even you had the quote unquote health thing and they still made
big
changes.
That was like a seismic change in the organization. Everybody's going, what is going on with Brad Stevens? Do they have some contract that they have to pay out for him that all of a sudden he's going to be a GM? He's not a GM. He's a coach from college. We don't know. What's he going to do? And boom, Brad's an awesome GM so far. And you bring in Ime Udoka as this coach that people really don't have familiarity with. It's just, they're going to be the changes that we're all trying to guess at in terms of, is it going to be Porzingis? Is it going to be a piece-by-piece thing that you do into the season? But there could also be these really big changes that we don't even foresee because they say we have to do something dramatic overall here.
One note of caution, though, is I don't want them to get too far away from what won them a championship 11 months ago today. Like, that's
right.
Something.
And that's why I don't think you do anything with Jaylen Brown.
Right. And, like, not to cross sports, but it felt like the Patriots last year with Gerard Mayo was just, let's do the opposite of everything Bill did, and they got worse results. I mean, same record, but they look worse. I don't want the Celtics. Sure, are there changes they can make? Yeah, I'm not saying not to, and there will be changes, and I think some of them could be necessary, especially with guys' ages and health. I just don't want them to say, hey, Knicks were tougher than us. We got punched in the face and lost, so let's tear everything down and flip everything. I think that would be an overreaction, and we would look back on that as a mistake.
All right, we're going to continue talking Celtics. We got to go to trending, but we got a very interesting piece of sound from one Kevin O'Connor about what he's hearing around the Celtics' involvement with interviewing Cooper Flagg. Ever heard of this guy? He's from Maine. Pretty good basketball player. Why are the Celtics interviewing Cooper Flagg? We're going to get to that right after Trending with Zach Coe.
WEEI Afternoons with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson. Weekdays 2 to 6. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Celtics' pursuit of Banner 19 and back-to-back titles is over. They fell to the Knicks 119-81 in last night's Game 6 at Madison Square Garden. Jaylen Brown led the way for the Celtics with 20 points. Here's what he had to say after the season-ending loss.
It stings. Anytime, you know, losing stings, especially finishing your season like this, you know, it wasn't our year.
The Knicks advance to take on the Indiana Pacers in the Eastern Conference Finals. That series gets underway on Wednesday. Red Sox losing streak extended to 4. They fell to the Atlanta Braves in last night's Garrett Crochet versus Chris Sale pitcher's duel, 4-2 the final. Crochet went 7 innings, allowing 2 runs on 7 hits while striking out 8. They'll be back in action tonight at Fenway, looking to snap that losing streak. Lucas Giolito taking the mound opposite Grant Holmes for Atlanta. You can hear coverage of that one right here on WEEI and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Dan Ball getting you started on the Mass Mutual pregame show at 6:15. Then Will Fleming and Lenny DiNardo with the call of the game. First pitch at 7:15. Elsewhere in the NBA, the Denver Nuggets heading to Oklahoma City for a winner-go-home Game 7 tomorrow afternoon. Winner will advance to take on the Timberwolves in the Western Conference Finals. Over in the NHL, the Maple Leafs staving off elimination. They won 2-0 over the Panthers in Sunrise. They head to a Game 7 back in Toronto tomorrow night. The Winnipeg Jets will look to follow in the Maple Leafs' footsteps later tonight. They'll head to Dallas for Game 6. Stars currently lead that series 3-2. Some major NFL news yesterday. The San Francisco 49ers and quarterback Brock Purdy agreeing to a 5-year, $265 million extension, making him the fifth highest paid player in the NFL. Finally, the Revolution hosting the San Jose Earthquakes tonight at Gillette Stadium, kickoff at 7:30. Trending now brought to you by Mass Mutual. Don't forget to tune in to the Mass Mutual Red Sox pregame show tonight at 6:15. My name is Zach Cohen. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Mego and John Lyons coming up after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds! Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
You're listening to Mego and Shime on WEEI.
Trey Johnson, who is a potential top five pick, Texas guard, he openly said the Celtics interviewed me. Said it on my podcast, and an interview will air probably next week. I have multiple sources telling me the Celtics also interviewed Cooper Flagg. Now, this does not mean they're going to trade up into the top 10, but I do think it's interesting, at least, the way it works at the draft combine. Teams can interview up to 13 players, and they rank the players that they most want to interview. This would mean that they had Cooper Flagg, Trey Johnson, guys like that ranked high to get the opportunity to interview them. I just think it's interesting the Celtics have made it a point to interview these guys.
It makes sense, because the only guy that you're going to trade Cooper Flagg or try to get move up to get Trey Johnson, it's Jaylen Brown. That's the only one that is going to have enough trade value. But I don't see Dallas moving Cooper Flagg for a Jaylen Brown at that point.
What if Cooper pulls an Eli Manning? He says, I'll only go to Boston.
Ooh, keep dreaming. Kevin O'Connor of ESPN. And also Yahoo Sports, he's got his podcast over there, and he was just chatting about what he's hearing, that the Celtics were interviewing Trey Johnson, who, if you're not following the lead up to the NBA draft, is highly skilled shooting guard out of Texas. And then you also got Cooper Flagg, of course, local kid out of Maine, Duke guy, and presumed to be the number one overall pick in the NBA draft. And he's hearing that the Celtics have interviewed both of them, which is unusual, given how the Celtics are. I don't have it right in front of me, but
their pick will be at like 28.
Pretty low standing in the draft. So why are they interviewing those guys? Trey Johnson's probably going to be somewhere between, I don't know, 4 and 10 in terms of picks. Cooper Flagg's going to be the number one overall. What do you think of that?
So I, on the surface, I think this is more about the 2030 offseason, right? Cooper Flagg has his rookie deal. Let's say it's 4 years or whatever. It's 29, 20. Like, that's when Jaylen Brown's Supermax expires. Tatum's Supermax expires. Maybe they'll make a run at him then. Like, local kid, if he projects out and he's an all-NBA player and they try to go after him, at least they have that familiarity in place. So on the surface, that's what it is. The only trade scenario I can see, and I don't even know if I fully buy it, it's just the only one I can work out, is if you look at why Nico Harrison traded Luka. He felt Luka wasn't tough enough to be an alpha on a championship team. Great score, all that, but that's what Nico felt. And he brought in Anthony Davis because he wanted to win a championship in the next 2 or 3 years. Jaylen Brown would help you do that more than Cooper Flagg in 2 or 3 years. That's the only – and Jaylen Brown is the guy that just made Luka look silly in that NBA Finals, and Nico had a front row seat to it. So that's the only – and I don't necessarily think it would happen. It's just that's the only scenario. So if Nico really loves Jaylen Brown and he says it's going to be Kyrie, Anthony Davis, Jaylen Brown, we'll win the West, we'll win the NBA Finals, then that's the only scenario. But I just – I would be surprised, to be honest.
I think these draft interviews are kicking the tires. I think it's make sure what you're looking at isn't Kevin Durant. Make sure that these guys are not worth moving for. We see the Patriots do this all the time. There's a certain number of interviews that you're granted, certain number of visits that guys can have to Foxborough. And, hey, we don't know this kid. Let's just make sure. Let's just make sure, or we really like him. As you said, let's establish a starting point. If you get to 2030 and you don't know Cooper Flagg then and he's somebody that you want, that's a whole other conversation. I don't think that that's as much a subject, but I don't think, but this comes down to, I don't think they're trading Jaylen Brown.
I don't think so
they're
either.
Moving off Jaylen Brown. And so this idea of trade Jaylen Brown, bring in Giannis, trade Jaylen Brown, go get the Mavs pick. You're going to have to do more than Jaylen Brown for that, I think, for where the Mavs sit right now. Trade Jaylen Brown, go get the San Antonio pick and take number two in this lottery. I don't think they're going to do that. And I also don't want them to do that, because if you're doing that, you're then changing your championship window around Jason Tatum. So let's say Jason Tatum is out the entire next year and he comes back the following year. Then you got a guy who, if you're going into this draft, has one season under his belt. I think he's going to need a little bit more experience to be somebody who's going to be a number two next to Jason Tatum. If you're talking to me about, hey, you're going to put yourself in a position where you have this lottery pick and then you're going to spin that out for another guy that you want to bring in or free up space for a free agent that then you're going to bring in and be the number two then instead of Jaylen Brown, I just think you open yourself up to a ton of risk. And I understand that there's this reaction that people have to disappointment and this run ending early that they want to make a big change so that they can feel like, okay, we have this new look now, and when Jason Tatum comes back, we're going to be even better than he was with Jaylen Brown. I just think realistically, you open yourself up to so much risk. And a lot of these situations, you're probably going to be a downgrade from Jaylen Brown.
And we've seen this work. 11 months ago today, these two guys won a championship together with Brown as the finals MVP. And by the way, the Eastern Conference Finals MVP. It'd be one thing, Mego, if they had not won it all last year. And we were sitting here, and Tatum and Brown in this run still had zero championships. Then I think you sit there and say, all right, maybe it's time to move Brown, make some sort of seismic change. But what did they do a couple of years ago? Lost in the Eastern Conference Finals, disappointing fashion. So they move Smart, they move Brogdon, and then they won a championship. So it worked. Like, we've just seen this work.
Don't forget Grant Williams. They moved him too.
Of course.
Batman.
Grant Williams, right? The guy who got in Jimmy Butler's face in game two. But we've just seen this work, and it can work again. Like, that's the issue here, is I think people, because they're scared of Tatum's injury and they're upset that the Celtics just lost to the Knicks, they're glossing over the fact that these two guys just played great basketball together in complementary fashion and won a championship. And they're in their mid-20s. Like, it'd be one thing if Jaylen was 33, then fine. Okay, or 32 and Tatum was going to be out a year.
Y'all are not the Bucks, okay? Like those of you who want to tear
it down. You're not even the Celtics of Garnett's era where they were all in their 30s. And I know you brought that up earlier. Like, these guys are in their mid-20s. They're two top 20 players, and they just won. Like, they just, like, we're not the Phoenix Suns who put together this high-priced roster and struggled to make the play-in. Like, right. They just won it all.
Possible we're getting ahead of ourselves. Ralph and Cranston wants to talk about what just happened in that Knicks series. Ralph, what's going on?
Hey, guys. Look, I'm sure I'm a minority. I mean, the last two games, to me, was so predictable. The Celtics, you've seen it so many times. You lose that big player, and you get together, and you got that emotional lift, and you win the game like they did. And then you lose it. I mean, an emotional edge is very fleeting. So now the team comes back, and they bury you. It's happened so many times. The other day, I predicted it on one of the Knicks shows, Knicks 12 or more. Now, you guys talk about Cooper Flagg, too. I don't know how well you remember Christian Laettner. Now, Cooper Flagg, we don't know. Is he Larry Bird? Is he Christian Laettner? So I'd be a little careful trading a major chip like Brown for him because he's not very physical. He could be a great player, but we don't know that. You know, when you trade a key piece like Brown, I mean, he is a key piece. And Dallas has to make a decision, too. Is this guy a number one pick in the draft? Is he that good? You know, so I don't know about that. But moving forward, you know, it's not going to be as easy to get rid of players because I think this ownership, current ownership, wanted to make it look as glorious as they could for someone buying the team. So they signed these guys up for all these years. I loved Holiday as a player before. Not anymore. He's got three more years at, what, $35 to $38 million a year? What are you going to do with that? Porzingis is Porzingis. We saw it. He's always going to be hurt. He's always going to have a problem. So busting this team up like people think it's not going to be easy. And I think next year it's what they do. I mean, you're not going to have Tatum next year. Do we just wait a year? What do we do? And, you know, it's going to be different. But, look, we've had a good last couple of years. But this was, to me, this was very predictable that the Knicks would win. It went pretty good. The Celtics were flat, and I expected them to be last night.
Thank you, Ralph. I'm kind of with him. I felt like Wednesday was a must win, not just from the obvious perspective of possible elimination game, but must win because of what you just went through as a team, the devastation, the shock that they all seem to feel at MSG, the horrible wheelchair video that we all saw of Jason Tatum with his head in his hands. I think there was like a sense of pride and for the fans and for the other guys in the locker room going out and putting on that emotional edge, as Ralph said, playing off of that, it just doesn't seem like it was sustainable. And the Knicks, look, you can say it's health that the Celtics struggled from. You can say there was fatigue, there was exhaustion from the run they had the year before. You can say Thibodeau was the better coach compared to Mazzulla, and you think that that was the edge and just this chess match, especially very early on in those first two games at TD Garden. Tend to think it's probably a little bit of all of it is the easy answer. But either way, like I just am curious going into this Knicks series. We thought it was going to be a run back to the finals, but we all knew that there was going to be dramatic change this summer. If you thought that they were running it back this entire roster this summer, you're crazy. Like I just don't think that was going to happen. Now I just wonder, does it still go as planned, or has this Tatum injury really sped up the process of or changed the outlook of we've got these different plans and now we're going to something that we weren't necessarily going to do before?
And I think going into this season, and really ever since Jrue Holiday signed that extension last year, we looked at this summer and said, hey, they have Porzingis, they have Holiday, they have Hauser. Those are their real three salary trade chips they might want to move. And I think we looked at it previously and said, well, they'll definitely move one of them, maybe two. I think if they think Tatum's going to miss the whole year, we might see them move all three, or definitely two and maybe a third. And I think that's where the calculus changes a little bit. And I think we're going to see them really look to explore, especially the two higher price guys, moving on from them. And seeing, and I think, too, they're not going to have to attach a lot to move those guys right now, which is good. Because you see sometimes in the past, like Kemba Walker comes to mind, in order to move him, they had to make sure they take Al Horford's contract. They had to attach other things
make
to it.
Make sure.
And no, and it
Brad
worked out.
Brad was like doing backflips. But he's no, like, I get Al Horford back. The rest of the league thinks this guy sucks. I know who he is.
But I think that was the perception, right? That they were having to take something back, and Brad knew better, and it worked. I think the nice thing here is they can trade a Porzingis or a Holiday, and they won't have to attach like a future first just to get a team to take them. Those guys are good enough at that. And that window in itself could be fleeting. Like, if they bring those guys back and Holiday looks older in October and November, or Porzingis isn't fully healthy.
Well, I don't know what position, John, they may be in with Porzingis, because if you've watched these playoffs, he hasn't sold himself. It honestly is. Yeah. I just have
you
to
would
say,
be selling low on him right now.
It's one of the most bizarre things that I can remember from a health standpoint in recent history, where a player goes through the illness that he went through in the winter. He comes back for 7 games after that, averages 21 points per game, looks
awesome. A 34-point night against the Knicks.
Keeps telling us how bad he feels, keeps telling us how tired he is, how his body's not right. And we're all watching it going, well, you look good out there. You're putting up the points. You look yourself. And then boom, like starting in that Orlando series, he starts kind of creeping down and was completely not himself, completely labored, looked sick on the floor. Not in a good way. Not like Porzingis is so sick, like sick. And you got a flash of him last night. But other than that, like I think they're kind of in a situation now. The guy averaged more turnovers per game than points per game in this Knicks series. He had 5 turnovers and 4 points per game. So now you're in a situation where maybe you hold on to Porzingis. You showcase him through parts of next season. He's on an expiring contract. So somebody picks him up as a rental, seeing how good he is for the short term. And they don't have to go in and double down on him or anything like that.
Unless, and I do wonder, is there any side conversations, wink, wink, with Porzingis that if they kept him around, he'd re-sign for a little bit less money next year? And that might be a little bit wishful thinking on my part, but I just think
you'd
with
have
the
to have
injury,
wishful thinking with all your bigs,
with
that
the
way.
Injury, because the reason I would want to keep Porzingis over Holiday right now is Horford could retire / is a free agent. Cornette could leave. You have a lot of uncertainty. And even with Porzingis's uncertainty, you have extra uncertainty. Whereas at the guard position, you have Derek White. And if you trade Holiday, Pritchard can start. And even if Pritchard isn't as effective as a starter as he is as a sixth man, at least you know he's a capable starting level player. And I don't think you have that in the front court. Like, if you trade Porzingis and Horford retires and Cornette leaves, like, it's Nemus Kate as your starting center. Like, and you have nothing behind him. And I think so you just have some more uncertainty there. And I think the Hauser thing is interesting, because what have we seen at times over the last couple of years? When Tatum misses games, Hauser has started at times. So do you keep him around to fill the Tatum role, or are you like, hey, this is $10 million, we're not gonna have Tatum, we'll move on from him?
Yeah. I think that it's fair to question all of these except for maybe Tatum, Brown, and White. And I could be wrong. I've been wrong.
I think that's your core goal.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds!
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going forward,
I think that's your core. I think that's who you stick with. Everything else is kind of TBD. We have one more segment for you guys coming up before we go hand it over to Baseball Isn't Boring with Rob Bradford. And if you want to get in your calls about the Celtics, the number is 617-779-7937. You can text the station as well. We'll be right back.
This is Mego and Shime on WEEI.
Welcome back. We got a good text on the text line here. 617-779-7937 if you want to jump in, or if you want to hit up Bradfo. He's over at Fenway Park for this interesting series against Atlanta. I got to see Chris Sale last night against Garrett Crochet.
Didn't work out too well.
See what's going on with this Red Sox. I'm not sure that's the happiest place to go after the Celtics title run ends, but this text says, how does this affect the legacy of this team? And that's something that I think we'll talk a lot about this week on WEEI. But what do you think about this, John?
So after Tatum got hurt and you see him on the court and you saw the wheelchair video, I did post-game that night on EEI here. And one of the things that kept coming to my mind, Mego, is I really hope that Celtics fans across the board truly appreciated what happened last year, because I think we saw in 08 what we thought could have been a multi-year run was one championship. What we saw here, you had this dominant run, and then they could still win more. I'm not saying they won't, but now it's gotten murkier. And I think a lot of people just were like, oh, this is going to be like the 80s. They'll win a few. They'll go to five. You might not. And I think a lot of people, I hope, really appreciate, because the legacy for me of this team is going to be that dominance of last year and how much fun they were to watch. Like, they weren't just a dominant team last year. They were entertaining. They were fun. They were everything you would really want in a team. They were selfless. They worked well together. Great in the community. So when I look back on this two-year run, I'll be a little sad they didn't go back-to-back for sure. But I'm going to look more appreciatively of what we had last year. And I hope people, much like now, people look back on that 08 run. Like, at the time, we were like, oh, Garnett got hurt in 09. Oh, Perk got injured in the finals. And I think now people have come around to, wow, that 08 year was awesome. And that was special. And I'm not letting them off the hook for losing games 1 and 2 in this series, but I hope people take time to appreciate what we were able to witness last year.
I'm going to project out. I'm going to say this is a setback. This is a setback, but Brad Stevens, after this Jason Tatum injury, works his magic, puts something together around the Jays, and they keep rolling. These guys are too young and too talented for people to sit there and say the legacy is going to be one and done. Maybe that's what the CBA wants. Maybe the big evil second apron wants no more dynasties. I think that's terrible. I think parity is stupid. I think that they are totally off base. Maybe this is just like everybody doesn't want the payrolls to go incredibly higher than they have, but I think parity is not what fans want. People don't know what they want. You know, you always see these psychological studies about, like, people are really bad at guessing what's going to make them happy. I don't know if you've ever seen these. Like, if you self-predict what will make you happy, oh, I'll win the lottery. And then all those people are the most miserable people and their lives go to hell. Like, fans don't want parity. Fans want heroes and villains. Fans want to root against the Kansas City Chiefs. Fans around here want a 20-year dynasty from the Patriots, and the rest of the world wants to hate them. Like, that is sports. It's kind of simple that way. I don't think this 7 past seasons of NBA champions not being able to repeat, and a lot of them going out in as early as the second round as we just seen the Celtics, I don't think that's a good thing for the league. I don't think it would be good for football. I don't think it's good for anybody. I don't think it's been good for baseball, by the way. I think if you had the Yankees or the Red Sox,
look at last year's World Series. Dodgers-Yankees was awesome.
Like, that is what people want. That's what people want. You know, I trust me. I saw the text line accuse me of oh, now you can talk about OKC, the team that you really love, because I've been saying for years that OKC is going to be so good once Chet Holmgren gets healthy. I don't know if that's great for the league.
I think if they became a dynasty, it'd be probably a good thing for the league. But, yeah, I mean, the constant one and done isn't as good for the league. And I agree with you in that, look, I'm giving a word of caution that it's extremely hard to win. You don't know what can happen, and I hope everyone appreciated last year. But I do agree with you. I think Jason Tatum finishes his career, and he's a multi-time champion.
I don't think
it's one of
this may change things about, hey, I always thought that Tatum was going to be a league MVP at some point. Maybe he takes a different role. Maybe he becomes an even bigger star. Don't know. Like, he's got a tough battle to come back from with this Achilles. I think we'll look back on this and say, it's tough that they didn't get to go back-to-back. We waited 55 years since 69 to see that and still haven't. But I think at the end of the day, there's going to be at least another championship. I think there's going to be another championship. This is a setback. This one hurts. This one's definitely a disappointment. And you're going to have to say goodbye to some of the guys that everybody spent a lot of time with over these last 2 years, and maybe some guys who have been around longer than that. But overall, I think that this is just a bit of a rough point that you're going to hit. Maybe a rough point is still being like a number five seed.
Yeah. And I think this is also, and you mentioned Brad Stevens earlier, he was the unsung MVP of last year's championship team because he spent years assembling
it all
together.
Well,
I guess nationally. We knew it. But this is going to be the next phase of Brad Stevens. Like, if he really is the modern-day Red Auerbach, this is the next phase of that.
Can you build that forever dynasty?
Yeah, can you build from the ashes of the Tatum injury?
All right, we're handing it over to Baseball Isn't Boring. Rob Bradford is over at Fenway Park, so he'll get you caught up with everything that happened with the Red Sox last night and what to expect for the rest of the series. Thanks, everybody.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerds.
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.